to DASCO Up for Discussion. I'm your host, Sarah Sewell, and today we're diving into a very important topic, how the Department of Rehabilitation Services, also known as DRS, helps individuals with disabilities prepare for employment and independence. Joining us today is my sparkly friend, Renee Briscoe. She's the transition coordinator for DRS. And Renee also serves on the Down Syndrome Association board. And she has a master's in rehabilitation counseling and over 15 years of experience helping students and adults navigate vocational programs and transition services across Oklahoma. Today, she's going to dive in and help us understand what pre-employment transition services are, also known as PREETS, and how families can start becoming a DRS client. So Renee, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. And I know I've leaned on you a lot for DRS services for Kirsten. But just trying to give us a quick, synopsis of what DRS services are.
Okay. So Department of Rehabilitation Services is comprised of two different divisions. Mm-hmm. We have vocational rehabilitation, and then we have services for the blind and visually impaired.
Right.
Within that, we also serve deaf and hard of hearing, and we also have a Hispanic outreach program. So DRS is going to be services that can help students and adults become employed, like learning skills so that when they do graduate high school, they can become successful in, after work, after high school,
right.
Going into work. We're all about employment. DRS is all about employment. So if you have a disability of any kind and you are looking to go to work or you don't, maybe you've had something happen and you need help to gain experience or another trade, mm-hmm. we can help you with that. But again, our main goal in DRS is employment, mm-hmm. that we are federally funded. And that's, we get money based on employment, so.
Yeah, and you guys cover the whole state, correct?
Yes, we do. All 77
yes.
counties.
And in your job particular, what is it that you do specifically? Because you have a large team of people.
Yes, I get the fun job.
Good. We like fun jobs.
My team is, we get to work with ages 14 for our PREETS, and we can talk about that, but 15 right. and a half to 20, right before their 22nd birthday, mm-hmm. my team is working on like programming mm-hmm. and how can we help those students gain experience so that when they graduate, they can be more successful to be ready for work, right?
Right.
So we're doing summer programs. We have STEM programs. We have things that we're doing for them to get paid, work-based learning experiences. We're across the board. I have a team of six now. It's crazy
wow.
to say that.
That's
I have
great.
One program field rep in each quadrant, and they serve their quadrant of the state. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to the schools. They're going with the PREETS. They're going with the counselors. And they're just trying to promote our programs mm-hmm. so that we can expand. Because, yeah, we have a lot of programming in, like, Lawton and Tulsa and Oklahoma City because, it's
right.
here. It's bigger.
Right.
But we are really gearing up for those smaller towns to have those mm-hmm. opportunities as well. Especially in the Western Hemisphere, we're like not there really. So
yeah.
We're trying to do some more outreach out there. Tracy Keeley is in the Northeast. Porshauna Brown is in our Northwest. Jeff Newton is in our Southwest. Mm-hmm. Kevin Randall is in our Southeast. And then I also have Chris Compton, who is behind the scenes kind of guy with our applications for our summer programs. He does our newsletter. He does schoolwork study contracts. So he does all of those things. And then we have an admin assistant, Jessie, and she helps tremendously with A, keeping me on task, and
yeah.
B, just billing in general. It's wild.
So every school should know about these services, right?
Yes, they should.
So whenever our kids turn 14, 15 and a half, they should be starting transition service. That should be a conversation in their
yes.
IEP, right?
It should. Yes, it should be.
And kind of walk us through, what does that look like? Because I can guarantee you, our parents and caregivers don't know this.
Right.
And for some reason, the schools have maybe they don't know about it.
Right.
Or they're not informed when it's supposed to start.
Right. And I do think there has been, we're doing better. Our Department of Ed and DRS do have an MOU together.
What's an MOU?
Memorandum of Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And we really are trying hard to collaborate with them to make sure that the teachers and the counselors are both meeting in the middle so that we can serve all the students.
Yeah.
We're working on a collaboration tool guide, toolkit, and I think that's going to be very helpful mm-hmm. in the future.
Oh, great.
We're making some adjustments to it. Lori Chestnut and her team and then my team, we're all working together on both sides. So there's a few things that we're tweaking and making different. But that should be available to go out. And I think it will really help the teachers understand what it means. And
yeah.
then for DRS understand the Department of Ed side to it, right? Mm. So when a student turns at 15 and a half, the system they use is Ed Plan.
You're right.
At Department of Ed. It generates or should generate a vocational rehabilitation referral out of that if the vocational rehab box is checked. Right.
Okay.
And it should generate a referral. That referral is then sent to DRS counselors. DRS counselors then reaches out to the parents or whoever that may be. And then the application process can start
for DRS services.
Again, I think there's a lot of new teachers.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that just have not been in the training as long as others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just trying to all teach and learn at the same time.
And basically what that means is our kids can start a work transition program within the school.
Yes.
And I know just speaking from my experience with Kirsten, she works at her high school doing mm-hmm. some tasks and jobs, and the school pays her.
Yes.
But is reimbursed through the DRS services, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
And that's called school work study.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can become a client of DRS at 15 and a half, or at least apply for services.
Right.
The actual services that we can't provide don't start till 16.
Okay.
Because 16 is, the age of working.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
So that is why that number is there. But you can apply for at 15 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the documentation that we would need to determine eligibility, any kind of disability they have that prevents them from being, working, like having those functional limitations to employment. So that would determine their eligibility. And then once they're 16 and then they have a plan, and at DRS, we call them an individual plan for employment.
Mm-hmm.
At the school, it's a individualized education plan,
yeah.
right?
There's so many plans.
There's so many.
And then the waiver
ones.
Has their IP.
Yes.
So yeah, we've got lots of plans
yes.
going on.
Yes.
And so they all intertwine.
They do. They should kind of
yes.
all line up together. Right.
Yeah.
And so then once you have an IPE with DRS and then that's what your student or child wants to do, they want to do that schoolwork study, then yes, that's something that could be done. The school pays the student. They are considered it depends on how the school sets it up. Some
right.
like them to be considered a school employee.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just doing it as a temporary, and it's individually at the school to decide how they want to do that.
Okay.
But then we reimburse based on the hours they've worked
mm-hmm.
and all those things.
And they're paid minimum wage typically?
They're paid minimum wage typically, yeah.
Yeah. And I know, like Kirsten, she works in the concession stand at
mm-hmm.
her school.
Yeah.
They do some activities with Sonic. And
oh.
so she goes to Sonic and they'll stuff bags, and they actually go to the admin building and do some administrative things there to help out.
Oh.
So I know they kind of keep them busy during their vocational hours of the day.
Yeah.
And then what kinds of services are also available through DRS besides the work study?
So multiple programs around the state. We're in every school. Yes, we have counselors.
Right.
Assigned to every school. However, not all of the services are in the programs because it is a contract, has to be signed.
Through the school.
Through the school.
Okay.
And then, each school district decides if they want to do that or not. The schoolwork study is one. And then we also have work adjustment training.
Okay.
Some of our schools around the state have decided to do work adjustment training within their school.
What does that mean?
And that is where the students are doing like 3 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
either a.m. or p.m., and they're going out into the community and working with a job coach.
Okay.
Or like a para.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of more one-on-one hand
okay.
training. They're not getting paid, but they're getting that work experience, right?
Okay.
So, for example, like in Moore, they have one set up at Kohl's and Alfredo's Mexican restaurant.
Oh,
and
nice.
IHOP, I think. They go and do different tasks for those companies.
Okay.
And then there's a job coach. So they bill, they send a DRS an invoice based on the participation of the student.
Mm-hmm.
And then DRS reimburses for that job coaching piece or that
okay.
work skills training piece, if you will.
For that, or if it's a pair or whoever
yes.
it might be. Does that include transportation too?
The school or the vendor usually do transportation.
So they can transport
they can.
There. And I guess there does have to be some kind of authorization from the caregiver
yes.
that, oh, you can take my child
yes.
to these locations.
Yeah, it has to be on our plan.
Mm-hmm.
We have to authorize it for services for the money part. Some of our vendors include like Dale Rogers
mm-hmm.
or Viability, mm-hmm. different vendors around
right.
the state, but some of our schools are doing it. And I think it makes sense to have the schools do it because they have the opportunity. If they have a kitchen most of the time, they
yeah.
have, I know in Jinx, I'm just shout out to Ramona Roberts, but in Jinx, she has like a bedroom set up
oh.
and they make beds and they, you know,
practice
they practice
skills.
All those skills.
Nice.
They have, you know, they do dishes, they're in the kitchen, they're cooking, they're,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a great program set up and there's many that do, but that's really cool to go watch them because
yeah.
I do take a few days every once in a while and just go make sure, you know, things are what they say they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure they're using their funds appropriately. And that's a great way to give those students just some independent living skills. So it's promoting independent living skills
mm-hmm.
and work experiences so that, you know, when they do graduate high school, they have something, right,
yeah.
to grab a hold of.
And that graduation period is when they finish their because of IDEA after 22. So
yeah.
that'll cover them through these programs,
yeah.
through DRS.
So just recently, since the OWAP, the 18 to 22 program,
mm-hmm.
They, you know, started doing that again, or, you know, where the kids can go 18 to 22.
Right.
DRS worked hard with Department of Ed to make sure that our contracts aligned so the students can continue to get school work study or work adjustment training even during those 18 to 22
mm-hmm.
year old times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about that's now an option.
Yeah. And I think that's really important because I'm just from my own personal experience, you know, my daughter might not be ready to jump into the workforce at
right.
18
right.
or when she graduated. So for her to have a few more years of that work-based
right.
training, I think really helps her.
Yes.
And, you know, focus on some academics. And
yeah.
I know at our school, we've kind of pieced some things together. But do you have any recommendations for how caregivers can put all this together and become a DRS client?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say is don't wait, advocate. Because if you don't get your student, your child, nephew, whoever the person is, if you don't get them in DRS early,
yeah.
You know, I don't know what the future looks like budgetarily. I have no idea.
Right.
We can't just assume that we're always going to have money. Right.
Right.
So we're good right now. I'm not saying we're not.
Right.
But if your student doesn't apply now at 15 and a half and then they wait till they're 18,
mm-hmm.
there could be a waiting list. There
yeah.
could be. I mean, there could be so many things.
Right.
So go ahead
get
and
it now.
Get it now. Because
yeah,
if you're just waiting
advice.
Right from the age of 15 and a half to 17, okay, you missed out on some
mm-hmm.
things. But, man, getting those services when you're 17, 18, 19, 20, those are important
yes,
years.
Yes, they are.
And so at least our pre-employment transition services can kind of help aid that 15, 16, 17 branch. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And at least you have something there. Speaking of the pre-eds, our pre-employment transition services,
yes.
we do have. That's a program mandated from the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act of 2014. Our agency really put it into use about 2019, and we were doing it all along, but we just weren't tracking it appropriately.
Okay.
We didn't really know what that looked like. And OU, which is University of Oklahoma, the National Center for Disability Education Training, mm-hmm. Oklahoma Outreach, they have had a partnership with DRS for 35 years or so.
Oh, wow.
They've been providing assistance for project search support, our employment support services unit. They do trainings for job coaches. We've always had a partnership with them and focused on disability education. And so it was a natural fit for me to think, OU, we could pilot this and see what happens. Because we are mandated, the Department of Rehab is mandated by the feds to spend 15% of our budget our total budget mm-hmm. on a Transition Age Youth for it. Right. Now, they didn't, like, give us more money, but we had to spend what we had 15% of, right? Mm-hmm. And so we struggled getting there in the first couple of years just because we were trying to build a new program, right. and it was hard, and you just got to figure out the things. Now I don't count 2020, so we've been doing it for 5 years, mm-hmm. and we've served over 25,000 students.
25,000?
Yes, 25,000 students.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. We serve about five to six a year, right? Mm-hmm. But OU was our pilot, and then it worked so well. We were like, oh, this is going great. And then, of course, we had to end up changing the way we do things. Now it's fee-for-service only, mm-hmm. which works out better, and we're able to track better. But Central Technology Center and Kaimichi Technology Center have also joined us with Priets. So we're serving, we have 35 Priet specialists total. And we're in like 250 schools, I think. Mm-hmm. We still have a lot to go. I mean, Oklahoma has 545 school districts. So, right. I mean, gosh, I feel like we could do so much better,
so schools
right?
Schools can be part of the Priets.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure. And then
and it's free.
And it's free for them to do that. What a great incentive. And I know here at the Down Syndrome Association, we offer Priet services in our self-advocacy center.
Yes.
And I mean, the curriculum is incredible, and we really love being part of that. And
that's great.
It's so beneficial for the adults in that gap year mm-hmm. to learn those pre-employment transition services goals. So can you share a little bit about how we as caregivers should advocate and kind of prepare for our DRS services? So for like the young moms out there that are like, I don't know what this is. When do I right. need to start worrying about it? And, you know, I heard about it when Kirsten was three. It was like, you need to start thinking about yeah. this when she's 14. And I'm like, what? I don't yeah. need to worry about that.
Right.
And we kind of got, you know, pushed back a little bit. And it didn't start till she was almost 16. They were just kind of growing the program and learning more about
right.
it. And the more the special ed teachers knew, then it became a better service.
Right.
But like, what should we do? That 8-year-old, like, should we start planning now?
Yeah. So this is, I get this question all the time
yeah.
and I present, you know, hundreds of times a month, and the same question comes up. Personally, I think you should be thinking about transition age, like when they're in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Like, you need to start focusing on what that looks like when they're in kindergarten. Because, you know, every disability looks different,
correct?
Right? Every student's going to be
student's different.
Different.
Yeah.
But you know your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know your student more than anybody else. So even if you're in an IEP and you want your child to learn how to tie their shoes, that can be a goal. Like,
right.
that's a success in some families, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So tying your shoes,
potty
riding
training.
A bike, potty training.
Big deal.
Like, all those things can be helpful for the IEP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're planning, there's a the Department of Education and DRS and several other partners, we applied for, Department of Ed did most of the work, though. I mean, they did all the work. They applied for a DIF grant, which is a Disability Innovation Fund grant,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up receiving $9.9 million
wow.
to help other, like support disabilities in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different areas in which got some, you know, they got some different funding to help. But one of the things that was so beautiful about this is there's a website now. It's
oh.
Plan Your Way Okay.
Yes.
And it has resources from little
all the way up.
All the way. I mean, we're talking, mm. it's all, everything.
We'll put that on the,
and, yes.
in the notes here. So planyourwayokay.com.
It's either org.com. I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
We'll get it on there. We'll get the right link.
Okay. And then, like, it can be, it's just going to be beautiful. It's like a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
So where you don't have to go fishing in 42 different places to find stuff.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited about that. Transition Tennessee had one. And years ago, Lori Chestnut and I were talking, and we're like, if we could only just get a website, that would be so
yeah.
cool, right?
Just a one-stop place,
yes.
stop for everybody.
Yes. And so now we're here, and I love that. So if you just went on there and got resources just to start, you know, like talk to your kids about, what do you want to do when you grow up? What does that look like? Do you want to work? Do you want to go to school? Like, I don't know, the things, all the things.
Yeah.
It's more difficult to me. I have two stepsons with autism. Mm-hmm. And so with my own son, he knew right away what he wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. But they struggle because they don't know what's available.
Right. What are my opportunities?
What are your opportunities?
What's meaningful employment to me? I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure that out.
Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah. What do you like to do?
Right.
You got to enjoy what you're doing to get up and go to work.
And I want to say, not to step on anyone's toes, but what does the student want to do?
Yes.
Because what student wants to do, what parents want to do are very opposite. And we got to remember that your student is the one that's going to have to... Your student is the one that's going to have to be making the choices, right? Because we also want to include that, that the students are doing their IEPs, that they're in it, you know, that we're not just doing it for them.
Right.
Right. We want them self-centered. I like, what is it, planner-centered person planning? Or I can't remember the words, but that's what I'm trying to think of.
But it all intertwines into the IEP.
Yes.
So kind of the process is 15 and a half. You apply for services, and then you're assigned a case manager, mm-hmm. right?
Counselor.
And then they start putting together some plans they work with the teacher, mm-hmm. the special
they
ed
They should,
teacher.
Yeah.
They work with the special ed teacher on the kind of the goals, I guess.
So also I would say at an IEP, like when you're in the seventh grade looking at an IEP, talk about what does it look like for high school.
Yeah.
I mean, start thinking about what's it look like in high school. Mm-hmm. So that way in eighth grade, you're like, okay, where's that VR person now? Mm-hmm. Voc rehab, not virtual reality.
Yeah.
Where's that VR person now? How do we get them signed up? What do we, you have to advocate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know what to advocate for, then you can't advocate.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's important, like you said, to find their interests.
Yes.
And I know there are some of our families and loved ones that, work within the school, and they're like the coach, the manager for the football team, and they get paid to do that.
Yes.
And there's some really great success stories involving that. And then I think some of them are also doing some janitorial things, mm-hmm. some custodial things, maybe in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. There's always places that they can stay in the school if you're not willing to go outside of the school and set those up. But are the loads for each case manager or counselor, or that they have a lot? They do.
So I will say that we have definitely upped it a little bit. We were fortunate to get, for those counselors to get a raise a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. which has helped recruitment, you know?
Sure.
When I was a counselor, I had 2 and 3 caseloads, mm-hmm. and that was 15 plus years ago. But, and they're not just like, they're like 150 on each caseload. So
oh, wow.
You're talking a lot of students, right?
Yes.
Especially if you just have this, if you just have schools, like our metro areas just have transition only. Mm-hmm. But our rural areas, they have adult and transition caseloads.
Oh, wow.
So their mind is going transition one day to adult, and they're totally different. Like, they're so different, you know.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So what that means because we've been mainly just talking about that pre-employment and mm-hmm. work-study base. So what's the next phase?
Yeah. So depending on where you're at, really, because of the way the offices are set up, when you graduate high school, some counselors will transfer you to an adult caseload.
Okay.
And then you'll become on an adult caseload, the age of it could be that 21, 22 mm-hmm. year old. And then you go to an adult caseload. Some of them keep them until they're done, forever. It just depends. Again, it depends on where you're at and what it looks like around us. Because if we don't have adult counselors available, then we'll just keep it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the process. It's just literally a transfer mm-hmm. of information mm-hmm. over to a new counselor, and they pick up, where you left off. But services that can be provided for once you're adult can be like job placement, mm-hmm. supported employment, where they're working with you with a job coach,
mm-hmm.
Employment retention. Like, for example, with me, I had cancer, I went through chemo, I lost my hearing, I had to have hearing aids. That was employment retention because if I wasn't able to get my hearing aids, I wasn't going to be able to continue working.
Right.
Because I needed to be able to hear.
Right.
And so DRS helped with my hearing aids, mm-hmm. which hearing aids are not covered by insurance.
No.
They're very expensive.
They are.
And it's ridiculous how expensive they are. And so, you know, and then with your cost participation, rather than paying $10,000, I only had to pay this much. You know what I mean? So it was really nice to have that. And that's what that's for, employment retention. Maybe, for example, somebody was in a field, they lost their arm. Mm-hmm. They need a new trade now, right? Mm-hmm. So we can retrain them, too, and do training. Or they've lost their arm in a accident, and we get them a prosthetic. That's mm-hmm. a employment retention. They're keeping their job because we're helping them with the prosthetic arm. Yes. So a lot of people think of disabilities being just, well, they're not in a wheelchair, they probably don't qualify.
Right.
But we do all
a
disabilities.
Wide range.
Yes, wide range of disabilities.
Yes,
very wide. Caseloads look so different. Our most severe disabilities is what we call our part one. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be someone who has functional limitations of, there's a form, but it's like multiple functional limitations mm-hmm. to employment. That could be something like mobility, communication. There's different ones. And then our category two is our severe. And then you have to meet like two or more. And the other one's three or more. And then severe, and then non-severe is our priority.
And that's an evaluation process that they go through?
It's from your eligibility.
Okay.
Like your medical documentation okay. that you get. Our voc rehab counselors are master level. They have a degree in rehab, mm-hmm. and they have the experience and knowledge to be able to determine those eligibilities based
okay.
on that functional limitations.
And then whichever category they would fall
yeah.
in, whether it's supported employment
right.
or job placement.
Right, right, right.
And then going from there. But the end goal is
always work.
Always work. Always employment.
Always.
And really not just working 2 hours a week.
Right.
Like, more like full-time employment.
We would love to see full-time,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
We do understand, though, that some limitations don't allow you to do that.
Sure.
There are different, like, it's very, just like anything else, individualized.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirsten's plan looks way different than anyone else's.
Right.
And her ability to work may look way different than mm-hmm. anyone else's. That's a conversation with you and the counselor on what that could look like.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a benefits planning department in our offices.
Oh, wow.
And they will talk to you about Social Security mm-hmm. and how much you can make and still get your benefits. Or if you make this much, you won't get your benefits. Does your new job offer insurance? Like all these
how to navigate all that.
It's so hard.
It is.
And they go through a very extensive training and they're certified Social Security. And that blows my mind.
I have to go appeal. So I know what that is going through.
And it's horrible.
Keeping track of it can be a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Are there any, like, some fun stories that you'd like to share? Some success stories of some DRS clients that you've worked with?
Well, actually, I do have one that just happened. And this was, okay, so this was one of my clients.
Oh.
From?
Years ago?
17 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
wow.
For real. He actually messaged me on Facebook
uh-huh.
and he said, hey, do you remember me? You know, we had this conversation
right.
and I was shocked that he remembered who I was. And he said, I need help with DRS services.
Okay.
So I gave him my email. He emailed me. So this was like 3 months ago is when he first started his contact, and he just needed a letter saying that he had DRS services, blah, 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 because he was looking for some kind of test that needed to be accommodated. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't do the letter, but I sent it to somebody else, and they did it because I'm not a counselor anymore. Anyway, he passed his test, and it's some kind of certification for, haircut. Barber.
Barber.
A barber.
Uh-huh.
And he passed, and he graduated. He sent me his video, and he was so excited. And so now he's got a storefront.
He's got his barber license?
Yeah, he's got his barber's license, and he has a storefront in Oklahoma City. So I'm so excited for him.
Oh,
he was like,
awesome.
I just wanted to share this because we did a lot with him in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of just faded off and didn't really do much, but then he came back. And I just thought that was so cool that he remembered. remember
and now
me?
He has his own storefront.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What a great way.
Yeah. Oh,
I love hearing those stories.
Oh, yeah. We have, so DRS always has success stories. We're always looking for more, too.
Yeah.
But we also have, like, our annual report where we want to highlight different mm-hmm. students. And our transition newsletter, we always highlight a student and the mm-hmm. success. And successes are not to transition unit, especially not about did they get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's about they got up and spoke in front of the school.
Yeah.
Like, that is a success. Yes. You know, like, when we have our Best Step, our summer program, yes. and we have a student who's in the classroom that knows nobody, and then we have another student that's like, I don't want to be here. And then by the end of the week, they're friends, they're exchanging numbers, they're going on vacation together every year. Like, that's success to us, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's not, it doesn't always have to be, everybody thinks employment. Yes, that's the goal. We want that. But you got to celebrate the little steps to get to that success, those big successes. And so we have a lot of different stories. One of the ones that we're probably going to feature is one of our Project Search students.
Nice.
I think he'll probably be in our annual report. He went to Project. Well, first of all, he went to Best. He did Schoolwork Study, mm-hmm. and then he did Best Step, and then he went to Project Search, and then Project Search hired him to be on the staff.
Oh, nice.
And so he got hired at, I think it was Integris. I'm not sure which one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's been working there for almost a year. Loves his job. His mom and dad were just, you know, gleaming with pride and joy. Mm-hmm. It was great.
A big speech story.
And it was just so awesome to see that just progression of our programs are working.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to find the right fit for the right person and make sure it's, you know, mm-hmm. connecting them.
You mentioned Best Step Camp and Best Step. Can you tell us a little about that and when the applications are coming out?
Because
I know that's kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
And we've had several of our kids with Down syndrome go through the program, and it was very beneficial.
Yeah.
So
our Best Step is, it's two parts, but the first week is Best, and it's building employment skills for today. And students go to a classroom, and they are just learning all about pre-employment transition services.
Yeah.
How to dress, what not to wear, what not to say. We talk about fishing and catfishing, and, like, those things need to be talked about.
Yes.
What not to give, you know, in an interview.
How to clock in. How to manage, you know, put up the app on your phone.
Yes.
You should learn that. And they actually, the governor actually gave them a little video.
He did. Yes.
About being employed and what that means.
That was pretty cool.
And being a citizen of the state. And I thought that was very encouraging.
Yeah, that was very cool. We had, I think, several people, like Channel 9 News had somebody on there. And it was really nice. OU did that. And I love that.
So it stands for
Building Employment Skills for Today.
Mm-hmm. And that's the camp. Huh?
That's the 1 week of instruction.
Yeah.
And one of our,
it's in the summer.
Yeah. It's from, well, it depends on where you're at. It's June and July usually.
Yeah.
But one of our camps over in Tulsa, they did like a, they had like the red carpet.
Oh, fun.
And they took them to Goodwill.
Oh.
And they got to shop for clothes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then they did the walk, you know, runway and stuff in their new clothes.
Oh, cool.
But then we made them not match too. And so they had to tell us what was wrong with their outfit. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
We try to do different things just to, you know, you got to keep people engaged, mm-hmm. like students.
Mm-hmm.
So then once they finish their Friday work at the camp, then they go to STEP, which is our summer transition employment program, where they're working in the community 4 weeks up to 25 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And our workforce board, our Central Oklahoma Workforce Board, pays
mm-hmm.
their wages,
mm-hmm.
$10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
DRS reimburses the workforce board for those wages. And then the student gets experience. We have work skills trainers that go and check on them throughout the 4 weeks. And those are hired like temporary employees through OU.
Yeah.
And then our Central Technology Center in Kamichi, they're doing that too.
Oh, wow.
But they have their own sending school. So they're just by themselves. Kamichi's by themselves. And then OU is like all over. We had 32 Best Steps this summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you can find a placement for your loved one to work. Or you guys will find a job opportunity for them. It doesn't mean that, you know, maybe you have a restaurant friend that wants to hire them so they can work there, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to go through you.
No, if you have a place, an idea, we can go and talk to them about, because one of the things they're going to ask for is, what about the insurance? Who's going to pay if this something happens? the workforce board pays for that. That's an important piece to employees, right? They want to know that.
Yeah.
And so that would give us the opportunity to go, go and say, hey, we got this. They're covered. We're going to pay them. You don't have to pay them. You just get an extra
Just
work.
Give them the opportunity to work for free here, basically.
Yes, that's what
you
we're
get
doing.
A free hand.
Yeah.
Who and wouldn't want that?
I know.
Free labor.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd ask about applications. We open applications November 1st.
Okay.
And they go through March 1st.
Okay, great.
So you have, a long time to apply.
How many? You had, a huge group.
We had 800 apply last year.
And you took how many?
We took 560. And then we ended up only having about 300 that worked. But we realized that we need to do some things different because in the past we've not had a backup plan.
Oh, uh-huh.
And some people said oh, we're not going to be here.
Right.
Or somebody died. I mean, there's things that happen.
Circumstances that are beyond your control.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're going to have a backup list this next year.
Uh-huh.
So that if someone doesn't show up, we can put
jump
you
them right in.
Yes. So I think that'll help us. But we could have had 540 because we had 540 in best camp. And then we did some mini camps around the state to those students who didn't quite make a camp.
Yeah.
There must be at least 8 to 20 in a camp. Some of them only had 4. We can't justify funds for 4. But we were in 22 counties and we had 32 best steps and we had 560 students that did the work, the first one,
the first part,
and 300 that worked. So,
And what I appreciated about it at the end, I got an evaluation so that I could then put those into her transition plan at school or her IEP on things she could work on as part of her transition program. So she's still in that age gap. So that was really helpful.
Yeah.
I have to say, I really like that.
It is one of our favorite things to do. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And we had over 300 employers that were interested in hiring. I mean, it was just amazing. And we've actually had 4 or 5, get hired on full time.
Wow.
After the summer.
That's awesome.
They were like, we love them so much. We want them to be here. We want them full time.
And for anybody listening out there, if you have a job site that you want to be a part of Best Step Camp, contact Renee. We'll put her information up and you can get a hold of her. And
absolutely.
She would love to have people go work there. Different.
We
DASCO is we took on a Best Step Camper.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That worked with us through the summer. And that was, it was great. He did a great job working for us. And we appreciated having him. Free work for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you tell DASCO families to connect directly with our local DRS representatives? How do we get in touch? What do we do?
So I'm just going to say that I would be a point of contact.
Okay.
Because here's why. Because we do have our turnover rate's pretty low now, but we have had where it's just,
Yeah.
And the schools didn't have a counselor or whatever. So I think if I could just be a point of contact, I can
get you in.
Direct contact with who that would be, because our counselors, we base it on where this, if they're in Epic or they're virtual, we base it on where they would attend school if they weren't going to school in a brick and mortar school. So if you were to go to Deer Creek, but you're homeschooled, then that would be a counselor in Deer Creek.
Okay.
So those things are just things that I would already know. It'd just be easier than having to call 500 people to get an answer, right?
And I know you've been so helpful with some of our families out in the panhandle, too, that have limited resources even.
Yes.
But we've got them some onboarded with some DRS services.
That's awesome.
It's going well.
Yeah.
So I know there are no limits is what I say. Call Renee, get set up with her.
Yeah.
She'll get you in the right direction so that those transition services are provided. And if you don't know, have a question like, hey, is my child eligible or what does that mean? I mean, just give us a call.
Also, I've gotten a call that said, I think we applied. I don't know. I can look that up.
Okay.
And say, oh, yeah, you did, or it's closed. Or I mean, I can give you that information.
And we can always reopen.
Yes.
Right?
You can always reapply. Yes.
Yes. Reopen and reapply because that's what the goal is, employment.
Right.
So if you're not employed, we want you
to become
employed.
Yes.
Well, Renee, is there anything else you'd like to share with our families that we haven't touched base on?
I did want to talk about Project Search real quick.
Okay.
It's an unpaid internship program, which is kind of a detour for some families because they need that income. But it's a 9-month program where students are gaining work experience for 9 months. Transportation, you have to be a DRS client. So transportation can be provided on that if it's on the IPE, right? We help them with clothing, like getting whatever they need. They have certain Project Search uniforms are usually purple in the hospitals and in the hotels. So they're usually in a hospital, usually in a hotel. They're working standard hours. They're in the community with everyone else. They take lunches with everyone else. They're housed inside the hospitals, the hotels. And it's just a great program. DRS reimburses the vendor for that job coach piece because there has to be a job coach there, you know, with the students.
Right.
We like 10 to 12 in each cohort, but sometimes we don't get that many. Sometimes we do. So, and I think it's just a lack of people don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10 sites around the state. Most of them are in Oklahoma City.
What are those sites?
We have Mercy, Integrus, Enid. We have one in Enid. It's a Integrus. We have Norman. We have the hotel, Embassy Suites, Nemours Healthplex, and we have the Wyndham downtown.
Oh, nice.
And then Tulsa Technology Center has one with St. Francis.
Oh, okay.
And then MetroTech and has another one with MetroTech is downtown, the Wyndham. And Francis Tuttle has Integrus and Mercy. And then we also have Oklahoma City Public Schools that has one at Southwest Medical
Center. And most of those are kind of healthcare based.
Most of them are.
What kind of jobs do they do in
So they're going to do 3 rotations of 10 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And most generally, it's transport, HR, and cafeteria stuff.
Okay.
So some of our hospitals have even opened it up to surgical tech.
Oh, wow.
Like letting them get experience in surgical tech. They've actually hired one of our students for surgical tech.
That's awesome.
Because of there's no way that's not going to be right and wrong, right?
And they work in the hotels, I'm guessing it's housekeeping and HR.
They have HR, housekeeping, and then
food
service. Yeah.
And so it's 9 months. And then after they complete it for 9 months, is the goal, hopefully they get hired on at the
The host business does not have to hire anybody.
Okay.
9 times out of 10, they hire at least one every year.
Okay.
I mean, they always do.
Yeah.
Every location, not just one. I mean, there's a lot of them that hire one or maybe two. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but they're not required to.
Okay.
However, the job coach piece of that with the vendor, like Del Rogers or whoever that is, they continue to find a job for that student after they've had that. Because they have 9 months of work experience now for a resume.
They've got some good skills
there. They've got some great skills going.
So it might not be a job with Mercy.
Right.
It might be a job maybe somewhere else.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
Maybe a surgical place.
Yeah, you never know.
Or another hotel, you know, that they're gaining independently.
Yeah.
Yeah, months is it 8 to 5 or they have
it goes on the school schedule. So some are 9 to 3, some are it just varies. All of them are different, but it's based on the school schedule. So Oklahoma City Public, Metro Tech, Francis Tuttle, Edmond Public. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, Integrus Edmond, and Tulsa Tech. Mm-hmm. It goes off of what their
schedules are for vocational,
and they transport them to and from.
The transportation piece.
That's big.
Huge. I know, because that's a big one for us.
Yeah.
Especially for working parents.
Yeah.
That's hard. And we want our kids to be involved and engaged and learn that transportation piece.
So I'm just going to let you know, Olivia Hook is works for the Department of Transportation, and she has mobility management specialist, and they will help find transportation.
Nice.
So maybe that could be a next podcast or
we'll have to get her on here. That'd be awesome.
I'll introduce you.
Good. Well, it's kind of like they all work together anyway.
Yes.
We've got to start talking about all that.
Yeah.
Well, Renee, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all this good information and about DRS and pre-employment transition services and, of course, Project Search. These programs make a huge difference in helping our loved ones so much. Just gain those independent skills and explore career options and build their confidence for the future, for sure. So if you'd like to learn more about becoming a DRS, a client, or accessing Priyet services, you can visit the website at okdrs.gov or reach out to us here at the Down Syndrome Association. We'll get you connected with Renee and get the right resources to you. And thank you for tuning in for DASCO Up for Discussion. Don't forget to follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And as always, keep advocating, keep learning, and keep the conversation going. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Sarah.